join us tonight for this chapter of the story. The story is a book written by Max Lucado and Randy Frazee. This is the Bible written in novel form, taking us on a journey through God's Word from Genesis to Revelation. And each week we'll take one part of the story and expound on it in the message. We hope that you enjoy this chapter tonight.
I'm living a dream. Not everyone can do what we do.
I wouldn't do nothing else.
It ain't an easy job, but when you bring a herd into town and you ain't lost a one of them, ain't a feeling like it in the world.
Thank you, Roy. I'll just take a pause now. The hard thing about road trips with little kids is they're fussing and they're fighting and endless questioning. Kids fight and bicker in the back seat and ask that endless question, are we there yet? And dad threatens to turn the car around and go back home. Drivers make the wrong turn, make everyone suffer along the trip and go out of their way. Leading Israel was like herding cats. It wasn't going very well. Moses had over 1 million kids on a road trip who were complaining and asking, are we there yet? And why don't we go home? Every road trip includes a destination, as well as the trip itself across the terrain. Thankfully, we have GPS today, Global Positioning Satellite, to help us as we travel. We could probably talk a long time about that and make a whole message just out of GPS. But at this point in Scripture, we've come to the wanderings of Israel as Moses leads them towards the promised land, the land promised by God, overflowing with milk and honey, the land promised to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, a land that was given to the ancestors and for a place where this nation would grow. But the wandering was not easy. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the time in your word today that we have to glean all the truth from it that we might learn ourselves today just in attitude and heart, in our heart towards you. Father, may you bless the time today that we have and illuminate our thoughts and keep us close to you. And we thank you for that in Christ's name. Amen. Even the best laid out journeys have their share of difficulty. Something can always go wrong. From a flat tire to a lack of places to eat or unexpected detours in the chosen path. And Israel experienced it all. Sadly, it was focused in on Moses. And the three main complaints to Moses were this. First, complaints about the general hardships of the trip. Exodus 14:11, then they said to Moses, Is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? Exodus 14:12, is this not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. Numbers 14:2, all the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, would that we have died in the land of Egypt, or would that we have died in this wilderness? Constantly complaining about the hardships of the trip, because you're looking at over 1 million people in the 12 tribes of Israel going on to the promised land. And despite all the things that God has done, they're still grumbling and complaining. There's also complaints about the food. Exodus 16:3, the sons of Israel said to them, would that we had died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, when we ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger. I just had a flash on Josh. I'm sorry, I got to move right along. Moving right along. Kids do that, don't they? God gives kids to pastors just for sermon illustrations. Now I have to get permission, you know, to use them. He says you can use them, but just don't use my name. Tamai said, what was the point of that then? So anyway, moving on. Exodus 17:3. But the people thirsted there for water, and they grumbled against Moses and said, why now have you brought us up from Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? Numbers 21:5. The people spoke against God and Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this miserable food. Manna, manna, manna. Day after day, it's just manna. You know, he gave them quail. That didn't work out very well, if you read this story. In all the tension towards Moses, even Miriam and Aaron, his siblings, complain about Moses being the driver of the bus. Turn to Numbers chapter 12 in your Bibles. If you didn't bring a Bible with you, grab a chair Bible around you and turn to page 109. We're going to kind of survey through. For those that don't know, we are on a journey for this year, and we are surveying through the entire book of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. My brother Bill, I didn't say maps, but to Revelation. And just to give a good scope and overview of Scripture, so we have a foundation which to grow on as believers in Christ. Chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had married, for he had married a Cushite woman. And they had said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us as well? And the Lord heard it." Now, I love this, verse 3. "Now the man Moses was very humble, more than any man who was on the face of the earth." You know who wrote that, by the way? Moses. Verse 4. It's kind of an oxymoron, isn't it? You know, in parentheses, he's the most humble man in the entire world. And I'm going to tell you about that. Verse 4. "Suddenly, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron and to Miriam, 'You three come out to the tent of meeting.'" It's like being called past the principal's office. This is going like to the school district. "So the three of them came out, and the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood at the doorway of the tent, and he called Aaron and Miriam. When they had both come forward, he said," here comes the kaboom, "Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, shall make myself known to him in a vision. I shall speak with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my household. With him I speak mouth to mouth, even openly, and not in dark sayings. And he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant, against Moses?" So the anger of the Lord burned against them, and he departed. But when the cloud had withdrawn from over the tent, behold, Miriam was leprous, as white as snow. As Aaron turned towards Miriam, behold, she was leprous. Then Aaron said to Moses, "Oh, my Lord, I beg you, do not account this sin to us, in which we have acted foolishly, in which we have sinned. Oh, do not let her be like one dead, whose flesh is half eaten away when he comes from his mother's womb." Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, "Oh God, heal her, I pray." And there was a condition upon that, and God did heal after 7 days of being put outside the camp. Moses was getting it on every side. Things are not going well for the driver of the bus. But at every turn, God does something extraordinary to demonstrate his power and his presence. He did it in leaving Egypt. He did it at the Red Sea. He did it in providing water and food, and all these things are going on, but yet they still didn't really get that. They still were constantly complaining all through this journey. From the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, he was ever present with them, but yet they just didn't get it. I think James is right. Even if we had that with us, we still wouldn't get it. We would take that, well, that cloud's been there every day, so we'll just kind of ignore that. Sometimes I worry about bolt and inserts. Well, I saw that color last week, so it can't be anything new, you know, rather than it might be. Maybe we should just put something in it. The person who turns this in gets $10. We'll see it now. Ain't going to happen, just so you know. I throw it out there. Anyway, Israel makes some dangerous choices, though, at Kadesh Barnea. Numbers chapters 13 through 14. Kadesh Barnea is located on the edge of the Promised Land. They've not crossed into the land of Canaan, into the Promised Land. They have not yet gotten there, but they've been spending about a year now in camp and moving and progressing towards that area. Now they're there. And survey says, 12 spies are chosen out of the 12 tribes of Israel. One man from each of the tribes was appointed to go into the land to spy on it and see what the lay of the land was. Are they strong? Are they weak? Is there food there? Is there water there? Because remember, they've been gone for 400 years. Jacob with his family moved there at the time of the great drought, famine time, and back 400 years ago. So now they don't remember. They don't know because they have never lived there. So they go into the land, they spy it out. And they all are there for 40 days. And after 40 days, they came back. And 10 spies report. They report about the abundance. In fact, the Bible talks about they had taken a cluster of grapes and carried it on a pole between two men. Must have been some pretty huge grapes. And they brought it back and they shared, "Oh, it is. It's an amazing land. But there's giants. And they're so big that we're like grasshoppers. And there's no way that we can overcome them. They've been through the Red Sea. They saw God destroy the armies of Egypt and all the chariots. They've seen the hand of God move. Can't he move in this? No, they're too powerful for us, and we can't do it. We can't go in. 10, two spies see it and report it differently. Caleb and Joshua report pretty much the very same thing, but they conclude this: because God is with us, we can take the land. Have you ever faced obstacles that are so great that it takes God to do that? Most of us haven't. You know why? Because we talk ourselves out of it. We circle think and we step back and that's too big. We'll leave it for someone really much more religious and powerful like Pastor Roland. All right, don't tell him that. But anyway, we pull ourselves back because we put ourselves in the equation rather than God in the equation. I tell people that God has placed me in my weakness in teaching, not in my strength or love, which is singing. You know, but this is where God wants me to be. So this way, God has to do it every week, and He has to demonstrate His power, not in my strength, not in my ability. We have to step forward in God's strength to see God-like things taking place and being accomplished. Because God is with us, we can take the land. But the people didn't hear the two, did they? They didn't hear Caleb and Joshua. They heard the 10 spies. They heard grasshopper, giants, and began to grumble and grumble, and like a wave through a camp, it began to be clear that the people were not going to go forward. After which Moses urged the people to trust God and take the land. The people rebel, and they refuse to obey. Not only do they refuse to obey, but they begin to complain about God again, that they brought us out in this wilderness to die and against Moses, and they're ready to stone Moses and Aaron. And they bow down before God. They bow down before the people. God's anger burns against Israel. How much can God endure? God even tells Moses he's going to wipe them out and he'll build a nation in Moses. Have we heard that before? We've heard that with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. I'm going to wipe them out and I'll build a nation with you. Why? Because he's the most honorable, humble man in all of Israel right now. But it's interesting that Moses didn't say, you know, God, that's a great idea. That just takes care of the whole problem. Let's do that and stand back, you know, and just kind of watch, you know. He didn't do that. He says, but God, it is known amongst the nations that you are with this people face to face. What will they say if you destroy the people and that you couldn't bring them into the promised land? That was a very good logic. It was a very good argument that Moses did. To present, because he was looking out for whose? For God's best interest, for God's reputation, not for his own. He would have been sitting pretty, because he would not only be the driver of the bus, but the only person on the bus as well for a while. But he didn't do that. He saved millions of lives, literally, by saying that. But they take a wrong turn at Kadesh Barnea. That was a wrong turn, by not desiring to go in. And Moses reports God's response in the heavy duty judgment on the people's lack of faith. Turn over to Numbers chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 28. We're going to kind of go through Numbers a little bit today. Chapter 14, verse 28. I'm going to go up to verse 27. How long shall I bear with this evil congregation who are grumbling against me? I have heard the complaints of the sons of Israel, which they are making against me. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will surely do to you. Okay? He's setting them up. He's going to explain exactly what he's going to do this time. Your corpses will fall in this wilderness. What have they been complaining about the whole time? About dying in the wilderness, right? Your corpses will fall in this wilderness, even all your numbered men, according to your complete number from 20 years old and upward, who have grumbled against me. Surely you shall not come into the land which I swore to settle you, except Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. Your children, however, whom you said would become a prey, I will bring them in, and they will know the land which you have rejected. But as for you, your corpses will fall in this wilderness. Your sons shall be shepherds, and for 40 years in the wilderness, and they will suffer for your unfaithfulness until your corpses lie in the wilderness. According to the number of days in which you spied out the land, 40 days, for every day you shall bear your guilt a year, even 40 years. and you will know my opposition. I, the Lord, have spoken. An amazing thing that they choose not to go in, and what they taunted comes true. They will die in the wilderness. And God goes on to say in verse 35, I, the Lord, have spoken. Surely this I will do, all this evil congregation who are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they will be destroyed, and there they will die. That does not diminish God's reputation. In fact, it accentuates it. The children are not being punished, but those who are adult who have made the decision to grumble against God and refuse, they're the ones who are going to bear the burden. He justly administers the punishment. Now look at Numbers chapter 14, verses 39 to 45. When Moses spoke these words to all the sons of Israel, the people mourned greatly. Here's what happens a lot of time, that we sense that we've screwed up with God, we've messed up, and now we're gonna try and fix it on our own strength and power. In the morning, however, they rose up early and went to the ridge of the hill country, saying, "Here we are. We have indeed sinned, but we will go up to this place which the Lord has promised." They're ready to go through. Why? Because they're told they're going to die in the wilderness. And they're going to say, have you done that with kids? You know, and the minute that the punishment's going to, they're ready to change. Like, okay. You know, mention the word spank, and the whole thing changes. Or take away the computer, or take away the TV, or take away the Nintendo. Attitudes change. Die in the wilderness? I'm going to put my head on straight. And so they say, here we are, we're going to do this now. But Moses said, why then are you transgressing the commandment of the Lord when it will not succeed? Do not go up, or you will be struck down before your enemies, for the Lord is not among you. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites will be there in front of you, and you will fall by the sword, inasmuch as you have turned back from following the Lord, and the Lord will not be with you. But they went up heedlessly to the ridge of the hill country. Neither the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord nor Moses left the camp. Why? Because they knew it wouldn't work. Then the Amalekites and the Canaanites who lived in that hill country came down and struck them and beat them down as far as Hormath. You know, I always thought all the nation of Israel needed was a roadmap for the 40 years. They were just probably lost. They weren't lost. They were dependent upon God, because they tried to then correct their mistake. It was too late. God's judgment had already came down, and they had to back up because God was not with them. Moses didn't even leave the camp because he knew that their efforts would not be successful. A wrong turn then becomes a 40-year detour. Many things happen in those 40 years. Battles, challenges, more grumbling, laws given, explanation of sacrifices are given, much teaching, much rebuking. But what goes around comes around, finally. All the people that were 20 years older at the time when they refused to take the land died off. And they're now, after 40 years of wandering, ending up where they began, at Kadesh Barnea. They're back in the same spot. Unfortunately, though, along with his brother Aaron, Moses is not allowed to enter the promised land. He made some mistakes, and God has to hold him accountable. Turn over to Numbers chapter 20 and verse 8. Numbers 20, verse 8, says, "Take the rod, and you and your brother Aaron assemble the congregation," because they're grumbling about drinking, they're grumbling about being thirsty, and they're not able to find any water. And he says, "Assemble the congregation and speak to the rock before their eyes, that it may yield its water. You shall thus bring forth water for them out of the rock, and let the congregation and their beasts drink." So Moses took the rod before the Lord, just as he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly before the rock. And he said to them, "Listen now, you rebels." I think that he's kind of fed up a little bit. You know, and he's getting a little bit tired of all this grumbling. You know, he knows that he's the most humble man in all the land. And I think he's going to just play that trump card right now. "Listen now, you rebels. Shall we bring forth water for you out of this rock?" He's all set up. He's loving this, you know. "Then Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came forth abundantly, and the congregation and their beasts drank, and they all lived happily ever after." Amen. No, it didn't work that way. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you have not believed me to treat me as holy in the sight of the sons of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. What did God tell Moses to do? To speak to the rock. What did Moses do? Struck it twice. Boom. And you know, it points to God's graciousness. What did he do? He still let water come out. He didn't say, nope, you're supposed to speak to it. Withholding the water. Try it again. You know, redo. No, God still let the water came out, but there's a consequence. There's a blessing of following God, and there's a consequence when you consequences when you disobey. You know that even in our own land. You know there's a blessing by setting your cruise control at 70 miles an hour on your car driving the freeway, and there's consequences if you're going 80 and the guy with the really bright lights decides to meet you and greet you personally and take your information because he wants to send you something in the mail. Moses is not allowed to enter the promised land. See, he was probably thinking back to Exodus 17:6. Behold, I will stand before you. This is God speaking. Before you there at the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Was Moses wrong in striking the rock in this passage? No. Why? Because God told him to. See, we have a tendency sometimes to think that it's always the same way. God is the same today, tomorrow, and forever. But his methods may be different. His way of accomplishing what he wants to do may be different. And we need to listen. Had Moses listened and not taken out his frustration, even in the passage in Exodus, he only got to strike it once. He was really upset to strike it twice. When he should have just spoke the word. Why? Because God created the heavens and the earth with a word. God created in 6 days with a word all that we see around us. Consequences even go to the top. As a result of Moses' disobedience, he is allowed to see the promised land, but not allowed to lead the people into it. That job was passed over to Joshua. In Deuteronomy chapters 30 to 34, Moses gives his last counsel in a grand valedictory speech, a farewell speech, and encourages people to choose life. Let me read to you Deuteronomy chapter 30, starting verse 11. He says, "For this commandment which I command to you today is not too difficult for you, nor is it out of reach. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will go up to heaven for us to get it for us and make us hear it that we may observe it? Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will cross the sea for us to get it for us and make us hear it that we may observe it? But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart that you may observe it. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, and death and adversity." He's given them a clear picture of choices. "In that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and that the Lord your God may bless you in the land where you are entering to possess it. But if your heart turns away and you will not obey, but are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You will not prolong your days in the land where you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess it. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants, by loving the Lord your God, by obeying his voice, and by holding fast to him. For this is your life and the length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them." See, the people are given a fresh start after the 40 years. Moses tells the people they have a fresh opportunity to trust and obey God. Did they still grumble? Yeah, but they didn't make the same mistakes. But most importantly, Moses reminds them that they don't have to get to heaven to get the word. They don't have to cross the sea to get the word. The word is very close to them. Hear it, listen to it, and respond to it. He reminds the people that they are not alone. God is with them. Have you ever taken, used it? One of the things I liked about our phones and why we got this plan from Satan with the wireless company was because of the GPS, because Luann had to do a lot of driving. I thought it would be very simple for her to punch in her GPS and tells her where to go, you know, and how to get there. Because we had a couple occurrences where sometimes the maps is not really good. But you don't have to follow the GPS. In fact, if you go past, turn in 15 feet. If you go past that and don't turn 15 feet, you look at it, it says recalculating. And it gives you the next spot. If you miss that, it gives you the next spot. You know, sometimes just fun just to confuse it and just throw in a little bit. You know, you can waste a lot of time doing that. All right, I can waste a lot of time doing that. But it always recalculates to try to get you to the destination. It never says, I'm sorry, you're an idiot, I give up. You are on your own, and shuts off. Doesn't do that. You see, God is the very same way. God never shuts off. He never abandons us. And he never criticizes to the point where he just leaves us all on our own. He will always take us to the next step and the next turn. The Christian life is like a road trip. God wants to lead us every step of the way from his GPS, God's personal solution. God has a solution in everything that comes along our way. There is nothing in our lives that God would like to exclude or is too busy or doesn't want to be bothered about. I mean, I pray for keys. I pray for a lot of stuff that may seem foolish, but you know what? I'd rather put it in God's hands because he knows exactly where the keys are. James says, the book of James, pray for wisdom. God, make me wise to know where my keys are. He's like, I can't find them. You know? We tend to minimize. And only God wants to do the big stuff. You know, the Bible says, even a cold cup of water given in my name, surely you won't lose your reward. He sees the whole picture from the beginning and to the end. And he wants us to make it to the final destination and enjoy the journey and the process. But we must trust him. When he says to go left, we should go. When he says to go left, we should go. Some of you don't like to follow God, do you? When he says to go right, we should go. When he says we should stop, we should hit the brakes, people. We just kind of like go on through. You know, can God stop you at 80 miles an hour heading for a cement pylon? Yes, but why would he? There are other laws we can violate during that. If he says to go faster, we should put the pedal to the metal. When he says to break down the barrier in front of us, no matter how big or how bad it looks, we need to charge ahead in faith. Because he will get us through that. You know, I in starting this church that God put upon the hearts of Luann and I, blessingly, we found Roland and Lori before we had our first meeting. And we're about ready to have our fifth anniversary of starting in our home. You know, it was a God-sized task. We violate all the rules of planting churches. They tell you to gather for like a couple years all your support and stuff. And our thought was, well, we have a house. Okay, we can just go with that. You know, we have to give God opportunities to work in our lives too. If we garnered all the support and all the financial whatever it is to make it a sure thing, where's the step of faith, I wonder? Where's God in it? Where's God's direction and leading? We have to realize, too, that there are others in the car with us, and they are affected by our choices. They will experience the blessings of our good choices and the pain of our destructive choices. What choices are we making today? God's GPS is instructing us on how to live in the upper story where we find blessing and purpose. Remember, the upper story is the things of God that he desires to take place here on earth, and the lower story is the things of human interaction where God wants to accomplish his will. The upper story always directs the lower story. The lower story does not direct the upper story. Whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. We talked about last week. God is always in the forefront. God's always in first position. God has the whole journey mapped out from beginning to end. He knows the best way to get us to our destination, but oftentimes recalculating, okay, Bonehead Gary made one more turn there than he should have. He is with us though every step of the way, whether we are aware of it or not. When food and water with withheld from the Israelites, it was because God was testing them to see if they would trust him. The reality, they had trusted him in the wilderness, they would trust him in the final destination. That's a good theme throughout Scripture. Faithful in little, faithful in much. Just give me that Mega Millions. You know, so we do this. Is it Tuesday nights and Friday nights? After one of the shows, we watch the Mega Millions where the balls come down and stuff. And I just throw out numbers for the fun. 14, 35, and I always win, you know. So you always win when it's after the fact, you know. Because it's just like, and you go, wow, last week was 7, 8 million, now it's 12 million. Someone's just gotten a lot more tempted. It's not the way to solve problems. It's not the way to get through difficulties as well. We rather think, God, give me the Mega Millions and I will do everything for you. Man, just be that cloud by day and pillar of fire by night, and I will do everything. Are you greater than the Israelites? I don't think that we are. I think we'd like to be. I'd like to think that we are, but we still have the same opportunity to follow God. The reality is, if they had trusted them, they would have gotten that 40 years earlier. Their wilderness experience was to be an indicator, a sign to the watching nations about life and works when you put your trust in God, who desires to be in relationship with us. In this week, I put a little card in your bulletin. You might have noticed that. It's a little thin cardstock piece. You're not going to turn this in to me. You're not going to, I'm not going to collect them or anything. But they made a new covenant with Moses. And God, Moses put before them, you know, you can choose life. And I like things that help us, keys that help us to remember the things of God. And just this little thing called the Grace Covenant. Because they're not making it with me. It's just, you know, you're here. Today I make a covenant that I will choose life. I will love the Lord my God. I will choose not to grumble, but instead I will choose to walk in obedience to him. I will keep his commands, decrees, and laws. I choose to live and increase and to receive the blessings of God. I see my life as an adventure and choose to trust in God and his leadership. If you believe that, if you desire that for your own benefit, sign it and put inside the story, put inside the book, or put inside the Bible. I made 60s. If you don't, if your bulletin didn't have one, there's just steal one out. Borrow one from the bulletins that are left over out there. I think we need little reminders just to help us, encourage us along the way. This denotes that you are the driver of the car, and your decisions have impact. My decisions in our family impact my wife and my son and my son and their wives. And it's important to see ourselves in the bigger scope and the bigger picture. Remember this road trip called life. Your life means something, and on the basis of your decisions, they will affect other people. Sometimes we need the visual reminders, and I hope that's what this is today. Now, you, church family, are challenged to sign the covenant card, indicating that you too will trust and obey God. We've heard the voice of God through Moses. Will we choose life? Let's pray. Our Father and God, we thank you so much for the truth of your word, and we thank you for the example and the experience that your people had, your chosen people had in the desert. Father, may we choose to follow you. May we choose to listen to your word. And no matter the difficulty that's faced before us, may we choose to step forward in faith that you might, through that faith, demonstrate your power, that you might bring glory and honor and praise to yourself with the willing hearts of the people. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you for loving us and for sending your son to die for us. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Every soul we long to reach, every heart we hope to teach, everywhere we share his peace is only by his grace. Every loving word we say, every tear we wipe away, every sorrow turned to praise is only by his grace. Grace alone, which God supplies, strength unknown, he will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone. We will go forth in grace alone,
grace alone,
grace alone, which God supplies. Strength unknown, He will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone. We will go forth in grace alone. We will go forth in grace alone.
Father, help us go forward in grace alone, that you might receive all the glory. All God's people said, amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for joining us tonight for this chapter of the story. We invite you to come to Grace some Sunday morning or Sunday evening at one of our identical services. Please join us and visit us on the web at www.grace247.org. And we hope to see you here. God bless.